So we're going to start the shiur now, and I hope everyone's doing well. Today, the shiur is on Parsha Shmini, and the title of the shiur is Fire from the Heavens. So we're going to look at one pasuk in particular in this week's Parsha, this coming week's Parsha, which discusses the creation of the Mishkan at the very end. So let's look at the psukim themselves. We'll start with source number one, as usual, and we'll move through the area and try to understand it. So if you look at source number one, it's from Parsha Shmini. It says as follows: Vayisa Aharon es yadav el ha'am bayivarchem bayired me'asos hachatas va'olah v'ashlamim. So at the very end of the setting up of the Mishkan in the Midbar, Aharon, he did, some people say he gave them a bracha, others say it's Birkas Kohanim, but he did one of those two things. And then he went down from finishing all the korbanos. Vayavomo shev Aharon el ha'am moed vayitzu vayivarchu es ha'am vayirah chavod Hashem el kol ha'am. And then both Moshe and Aaron went out, and they were mevarich the Am. They gave a blessing to the Am, and Hashem appeared to the whole nation. Vatetze ish milifnei Hashem batochal al hamizbeach es olah v'esachal avim vayar kol Am vayaronu vayiplu al pneihem. And a fire came forth from Shamayim, from before Hashem, and it ate up all the korbanos on the mizbeach. It consumed them, the olah and the fats. And the whole entire nation saw this, and they were, by Yaronu, the Sepharia translation means that they shouted, but we'll look at that inside, and they all fell to their faces. So at the setting up of the Mishkan, the very end, there was obviously a lot of joy, but what happened was there was this process whereby Aaron either provided them with Birkas Kohanim or Bracha in general, then Moshe and Aaron also are Mevarich, Hashem appears, and then there's this fire that comes down from the heavens, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it consumes everything that was on the Mizbeach, and the nation has an interesting response. Again, the translation is that they shouted, but we're going to try to understand the last pasuk, Chaf Dalet. It says, Vatetze Eish Milifnei Hashem. What exactly was their response? It says, Vayaronu. And we're also going to look at a Medrash and try to understand the Medrash and what the Medrash is trying to teach us about the significance of this fire. Was this fire special or unique, or was it just a regular fire? Why couldn't they just light a normal fire and bring it onto the Mizbeach? So Rashi over here, he just says, look at the Tirgum. So let's just look at Unkelis in source number two. So Unkelis says, Unifakas ishasa min kadam Hashem v'achalas almad b'cha yas alasa v'yas tarbaya v'chazak kol ama v'shabachu v'naflu al apehon. So there was a fire that went forth from before Hashem, and it consumed everything on the Mizbeach, the Ola and the fats. The whole entire nation saw this, and it says Vishabachu. Vayaronu is interpreted by Unkelis as Vishabachu, that the people praised Hashem, they gave Shevach, and they fell to their faces. So what is the Shevach that Unkelis is alluding to? Is it just a generic Shevach that they were happy, so they praised Hashem? Or was there a more specific idea to the Shevach, and can we understand what that idea is? So I think that there is a more specific idea, and we'll look at the Medrash to try to understand what exactly the Shevach was. Okay, so let's look at the Medrash inside. Look at source number three. So the Medrash says, Vatite Eish Milifnei Hashem, Kevan Shiro Eish Chadasha Shiyarda Mishmei Marom, Velichacha Al HaMizbeach. So when the Jewish people, the Am, they saw this fire, a brand new fire, created out of nothing, came down from the heavens, and it consumed or grazed the Mizbeach, they all fell to their faces. Naflu apneim va'amru shira. They said a shira. Al osa ashah hu omer rananu tzadikim v'ashem la'isharim nava sihila. And with regard to this moment, he said, assuming it's referring to Hashem, that he said in Tehillim, rananu tzadikim v'ashem la'isharim nava sihila. So what does that mean? English, for those, for most of us. So sing forth, O you righteous, to the Lord. It is fit that the upright acclaim him, that they give him Shevach. Okay, so Hashem said this pasuk referring to this moment. So we have to understand, one question is, what exactly is the reference of this pasuk to this moment? And can we explain further what the nature of the Shevach was and why Hashem said this about the people at this moment? And then the next part, V'ishi yarda b'mei Moshe ha'isa revutza ka'ari al gavei ha'mizbeach. And the fire that came down in the times of Moshe, which is this fire, in our Parsha in Shmini, it was lying on the Mizbeach like a lion lying in wait. V'lo paska ach yarda b'mei Shlomo. And it didn't stop until the times of Shlomo, Shenamar, V'chol b'nei Yisrael, Ro'im, V'redes ha'ish. So in the times of Shlomo, the same thing happened. A fire came forth from the heavens. But why is it that Moshe, the fire in Moshe's time, why is it that it lasted and it never went out? What's that idea that it persisted so many years all the way until Shlomo's time? So why did it have to be like that? What's that concept? And are these two points in the Medrash related to one another, or are they completely separate points? So again, just to summarize, the first point in the Medrash is that when they saw this new fire, they said Shevach, they said Shira, and Hashem responded with this pasuk, the idea of this pasuk, Ranan Tzadikim B'Hashem La'ishrim Nevasihila. So what exactly is the pasuk alluding to? And then the second idea is that the fire that came down in this situation, it lasted until the time of Shlomo. So why did it have to last until Shlomo's time? What's that concept? Can we explain it in a little deeper manner? So, of course, the best method, I think, or I believe, to understand this is to go through the psukim themselves and see if there are any mefarshim on it. And with the mefarshim, we can try to gain greater insight into what's going on over here. So let's look at the pasuk itself. Look at source number 4. It's Perek Lama Gimel and Tehillim Pasuk Aleph. Ranenu Tzadikim B'Hashem La'isharim Navasila. And maybe you forgot the English, so I'll just read it again. Sing forth, O you righteous, to the Lord. It is fit that the upright acclaim him. Okay, so what is this pasuk talking about exactly? So let's look at the Radak. I don't want you to assume that this is the whole Radak, because it does look like that. So you see that it's very easy to manipulate these things. So I left out the beginning of the Radak because it's all about the diktuk of the words of Na'ava, which we're not so interested in right now for this year, but it is interesting in general. So look at the Radak from this point on. Look in source number 5 on the very pasuk. He says, Upirusha inyan yafa means good or nice, beautiful. Klomar, letzadikim ulayisharim tov v'yafa l'ranein ulahalel l'Hashem. So for tzaddikim and those who are righteous, it is good and it is fine or beautiful in order to praise, and l'ranin is to shevach, to give shevach and praise Hashem. Ki him hamivinim v'hamaskilim b'pol Hashem. Because the tzaddikim and the yisharim, they really understand the ways of Hashem, the acts of Hashem, uv'maisa yadav, and they understand his work, uv'chasadav imbruav, and they also understand the kindness that Hashem does with his creations. Uvazeh hishtadlusam, and tzaddikim and yisharim are engaged in understanding the work of Hashem and his chesed. Lo b'taivas olam, so chasidim or tzaddikim and yisharim, chasidim not the modern chasidim, but chasidim of the Gemara's time, tzaddikim yisharim. So they spend their time trying to understand the works of Hashem and his actions as well as his chesed. And they're not so interested in taiva, in lust. Ulefichach amar ki lahem hu noe hashevach shishabchuhu lefi mashi akiru b'masav. Therefore, he said that for them it's beautiful the praise that they're praising Hashem in what they see in his actions. Kimo shaholeich u'misafir b'zeh ha-mizmor, as it explains in this mizmor. So the mizmor that the Medrash is quoting, that it's an allusion to the response of Klal Yisrael, is that that the Shevach of a Tzaddik is on a higher level than just an Amal Aretz, because the Shevach of a Tzaddik is in response to seeing the Maisa Hashem, Pol Hashem, and Chasadov in Bru'ov. And when Shevach is given after witnessing that, or seeing or gaining and analyzing that situation, it's a different type of Shevach. It's a higher level Shevach than just an Amal Aretz who's giving Shevach. So your regular Amal Aretz who's saying Hallel on Chanukah is not the same as a tzaddik who's giving Shevach due to seeing the work of Hashem. So what exactly is this? What was the work of Hashem here? What can we understand this again further? So what exactly was going on here in the setting up of the Mishkan? So one of the key features in the setting up of the Mishkan was the kapara for the egel, for the golden calf. So look at source number 6. Earlier on in Shmini, one of the korbanos that was brought in the Chanukah Samishkan was the egel, was a calf. It says in source number 6, Rashi explains, Kach lecha egel. So why was one of the korbanos an egel? Dehodia shemachaper lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu al yidei egel zeh al maisa egel she'asa. It was to show Klal Yisrael that Hashem was atoning for, he was removing the punishment, like a, that's what kapara is according to some. He was removing the punishment of Klal Yisrael for doing the Egel through the korban of the Egel. And that was really what Hashem was doing. So when he, when the fire came forth, like the pasuk says, it was a demonstration of the fact that Hashem, there was ritzoi, there was acceptance on the part of Hashem of this Egel, and the acceptance of the Egel and the korbanos was kapara. It acted as an atonement for the Jewish people for the Egel Hazahav, for the golden calf. And Rabbeinu Bachya says the same thing over here. Look in Rabbeinu Bachya in source number 7. He says, Vateitze eish b'lifnei Hashem v'tochal al hamizbeach. Hine ata b'yom hashmini she nischanech hamishkan. On the eighth day where the Mishkan was really set up, b'korbanos haniskarim hamuvayim l'chaper al maisa egel, through the korbanos, whose function were to be mechaper on the maisa egel, yarda eish min hashemayim l'kabel osam. So the idea of the eish, the fire, consuming the korbanos, was a reflection of the fact that Hashem had accepted these korbanos and gave kapara to the Jewish people. Va'eish hazos hisha amda ador shel Shlomo shebana habayis. And this eish, this fire, lasted till Shlomo, who, of course, if we all remember, he's the one who created the Beis HaMikdash. He built it. Kol yimei habayis haisa eish kayemes lo kavsa ad shecharav. And all the days of the bias of the Beis HaMikdash, they also had the same fire. Valzer remez akasav ish tamid tukadal mizbeach lo sechbet. So there's a remez that by the Mishkan it said that, we'll see it inside, that the fire on the Mishkan was not allowed to be taken out or destroyed. And there, and there's a pasuk, it's an iser, it's a lav. Okay, so Rabbeinu Bachya corroborates what Rashi was saying, that the essential korbanos, or the nature of the korbanos in general, although Rashi limits it to the egel of the Korban Egel, however, Rabbeinu Bachya ties it to all the Korbanos with the concept of kapara for the Egel Azav, that the Jewish people understood that they really deserved a greater punishment, that they should have been destroyed because of the Egel. And in the consecration of the Mishkan, what was being demonstrated to Klal Yisrael through the fire and the acceptance of the Korbanos was kapara on the, for the Egel Azav. So with that, I think we have enough information to at least understand the first idea that the Medrash is saying. So if we go back to the Medrash says that the Jewish people, they fell to their faces and they said Shira. Unkelus said they were Mishabeach. So Shira and Shevach are kind of the same thing. They're a little similar. But the Pasuk is saying, Rananu Tzadikim Ba'Hashem La'Yisharim Na'Vasihila. So what was the nature of their Shira, or what was reflective of their Shira? This Pasuk that Hashem was saying in response to it. And we said that the Pasuk is showing that those who say Shira as a result of seeing God's work and Chasadav and Beruav is a greater Shevach than just your average Am Haaretz. So everything fits together now, I think. So the first idea in the Medrash, I think, is that the Jewish people, Klal Yisrael, they really recognize the Chesed Hashem through the fire that accepted the Korbanos and gave them Kapara for the Egel in a very pure way. And that's what it means that they're a Mishabeach Hashem as a result. It wasn't just the miracle of the fire and the awesomeness of a fire coming down from heavens, which most of us would just be bowled over by the fact that we saw a fire coming out of nowhere from the heavens, like a lightning bolt. But they weren't giving Shevach for that. They were giving Shevach for the idea that Hashem was giving them Kapara, and they recognized the Chesed Hashem, because the Radak says Chasadav Imbruav. They recognized the Chesed Hashem in this act of Eish, Vateitze Eish, because Eish, the consumption of the Korbanos, was really a demonstration to Klal Yisrael of accepting them and removing the Onesh and giving them Kapara for the Egel Azav. So the first idea, and that's why it's Rananu Tzadikim Ba'Hashem, it's saying that this Shevach was a higher level Shevach, because in this moment, even if it was momentary, the Jewish people recognized that the Eish was really a reflection of Chesed Hashem towards Klal Yisrael, and they really appreciated it, and that's what prompted them to do Shira and give Shevach. So Vatitza Ish and Vayaronu, the response of Klal Yisrael was really, again, was really a way to show or to demonstrate their understanding and appreciation of the Chesed HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this Maisa. But I think the key, again, is the Chiddush, that they weren't really as surprised by the miraculousness of it, but they were more impressed by the nature of a Chesed in Hashem now accepting them despite the fact that they did the Egel Azav. But with that, I think we can move on. and try to answer the next part. So the question, the second part of the Medrash says that the Eish, this fire, stayed alive and was alive and well until the time of Shlomo. And even in the time of Shlomo, we'll see in Rabbeinu Bachya, the Eish still existed. It's just that there was another Eish that came down. So why is that important? So Rabbeinu Bachya, he quotes a pasuk from Tzav, from Parshas Tzav. So it's not that far, not that long ago when we read Parshas Tzav. So we're getting two parshios here for the price of one. So if you look in Parshas Tzav, look in source number 8. So the pasuk that he quotes is Eish Tamid Tukadal Mizbeach Lo Sechbeh. So the Eish, the fire, had to be lit on the Mizbeach and cannot be extinguished. So the Torah Tzmima over there, in source number 9, he quotes the Yerushalmi. It says Lo Sechbeh Af B'Masaos. Even when they traveled from place to place. So again, the Mishkan was something that could be broken apart and began, and they traveled with it from place to place and set it up. But what do they do with the fire? So Mayu Osinla Bishas Masaos, Hayu Kofin Al Psachter. So what they did was they covered it with a type of like lantern or kli, and in doing so they were able to preserve the fire. The question is why? Why is this so important? What's the concept being expressed by preserving this fire from the Mizbeach? Why not just extinguish it and then light it again when they set up the Mishkan in another place? So the Chizkuni kind of gives an approach here, and I think it ties into the Svara that we said at first. So if you look at the Chizkuni, look in source number 10, he says, Eish tamid af b'Shabbos af b'tuma. So it was always around. Even on Shabbos, this Eish was running, it was lit, the fire, and even b'tuma, it was going all the time. Lo sichbe af b'masos. And even when they traveled, they weren't allowed to extinguish this fire. Kvot shamayim hush, lo tehe ki raso b'tela. So it was a kvod shamayim, it was respect for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for Hashem, that his oven, his kira, should not be nullified. Ma osin la kofin al epsachter divrei Rabbi Yehuda. So what did they do? They covered it with a kli, and by doing so, they were able to preserve the fire. So what is this kvod shamayim? What's the idea of kvod shamayim here, and why is it that they had to continuously run this fire, make sure that it didn't go out? And that's the question. So I think that the Medrash is consistent. And I think the idea of not putting out the fire of Moshe is, again, a demonstration, reflection, whatever term you want to use, of Klal Yisrael's appreciation of Hashem's acceptance of their korbanos. Because if you really recognize the importance, the significance of the fire, the Eish Min Hashem, it's not the fire, it's not the idea of the korbanos burning to pieces, but it's the idea of Kabbalah and Ritzoi. The concept that Hashem is accepting our korbanos was expressed in Vatete Eish. And if you're Klal Yisrael and you recognize that what this means, what this fire from a Kadosh Baruch Hu really means or implies, which is Chesed Hashem, how could you ever extinguish it? Extinguishing it would be a lack of recognition of that concept. We're so dependent on Hashem's Kabbalah of our korbanos and a recognition of His Chesed and Bruav, that His kindness with us as creators by giving us Kapara. How could we allow it to go out? How could we even extinguish it? So the Torah is just telling you there's an Isser to do that, but it's really, again, the Isser, again, is philosophically tied to the concept that Klal Yisrael have to recognize the importance of this fire, the essential nature of this fire, because without this fire, Klal Yisrael can't exist. They need a fire min Hashem. They need the idea of Kabbalah and Ritzoi, which is the fire that came down in the time of Moshe, which again represented Ritzoi Hashem and the consumption for the purpose of giving Klal Yisrael Kapara. So this fire could not be extinguished, because if it was extinguished, again, it would lack a certain appreciation of Klal Yisrael for the nature of this fire. This wasn't a regular fire. It's not about the fire itself, but again, it's about the Ritzoi of the Korban. And that couldn't be expressed in a different fire. If man lit the fire, it wouldn't really reflect, and it wouldn't, the idea of Ritzoi wouldn't be apparent in the consumption of korbanos. So that, I think, puts together the Medrash and answers some of the questions that we had. So let me just go back. So the Medrash said two things, two points. One is, the Medrash mentioned that Klal Yisrael, what did they do when they saw the Eish? They gave Shevach to Hashem. They said Shira, according to the Medrash. And Hashem said in response, Ranenu Tzadikim Hashem La'ishrim Navasila. And the Radak points out that really means that when a tzaddik recognizes the works of Hashem and his actions on the Maisei Hashem and his chesed with his creators, so that shevach that results from is a higher level shevach. And what it's teaching us is that the idea of the Tetzeh, which is the kapara for the Egel, was recognized as a real chesed by Klal Yisrael towards them from Hashem, and their shevach was on a very high level, a very different level than just your classic Amaret shevach, because they really saw the chesed here. And once that chesed is apparent, because the Eish, again, is not just about burning the korbanos, it's not just practically burning them up, but it's, again, it's the idea of ritzoi. So once that exists in Eish, in the Eish of the Mizbeach, you can't extinguish it. Extinguishing it would be a denial or a lack of understanding of the importance, the significance of the fire. Because it's not the fire per se. Again, it's the idea that Hashem provides us ritzoi and kapara, and that was expressed through Vatetei Eish Melefnei Hashem. And that idea cannot be lost in the Mizbeach. It can't just be an oven. It can't just be a regular oven where you're burning off meat and fat. Because that's not what the Mizbeach is. It's not about the consumption of that which is on the Mizbeach. It's all about, you know, how Hashem responds to us giving korbanos. Okay, so let me just stop here. It's a good point for a break. Any questions at this point on the last point that I just made? Any questions?
Rabbi Ginsburg.
Yeah.
It's interesting that they refer to the fire that's covered like a lion.
Yeah. That's a good point. I wasn't sure what it was alluding to, what it meant. It calls it a lion lying in wait, because it's like rovates. Right. Rovates is like lying in wait. Not sure why it says that. Maybe the idea is that it's a concept that's constantly ready to consume. It's in a state where it's ready to do ritzoi. And that's what Klal Yisrael should recognize, that the Mizbeach is always in a state where ritzoi is possible and it's ready to be done. So maybe that's the idea, the concept. That Klal Yisrael, when they think about the Mizbeach, if they see the Mizbeach, they should see and notice that the fire that's on it is ready to consume. Hashem is ready for korbanos. He's ready to provide us with ritzoi and kapara. It's not something that has to be turned on. It's always available to us. So maybe that's the idea. That's the concept.
That's what I was going to say. Just like an animal is always ready to pounce.
Exactly.
Especially a lion.
Yeah.
Lion is the prototype of the animal that's ready to pounce and do its job.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So I think that's the idea. Excellent. Yeah. Thank you. Thanks for that question. All right. So there's one other aspect of this shiur that I wanted to understand and explain. And the Rabbeinu Bachya is quite long, so I'll try to go through it and explain some of the cases that he brings in. But again, I think he's teaching us one more idea that we can tie into this pasuk in Shmini Vatetzei Eish. So look at Rabbeinu Bachya in source number 11. He says, V'chein matzinu yudbeis ishos, or ishos, shenaflu min hashamayim, bedoros v'zmanim chalukim. So there were 12 times when fire emerges from the heavens in different zmanim, different time periods, in different generations, in separate generations. Sheish mehen ayu l'kabalas ha-korbanos v'derech ritzoi v'rachmanos. So six of the fires were there in order to demonstrate Hashem's mercy on us and acceptance of us. V'hashish ha-nusarim derech kaas v'nekama. And the other six that were left over, they're all kaas, anger from Hashem, and nekama, and vengeance. So he goes through all of these. Ha'achas hi ha'esh ha'zos she'yarda l'kabla korbanot halalu she'nischanech b'hem ha'mishkan. So the first esh, which was a positive esh, so the good esh, the first good esh, was the one in our pasuk. It says, Vatetzei esh b'lefnei Hashem v'tochal al mizbeach es ha'olah v'eschachal avim. So it's a great esh. And the reason why it's a great esh is because it provides us with ritzoi and kapara for the egal zav. So we got a great esh over here in Shmini. And what about the second one? Ashinis he sheyarda b'mei Gidon, kasher shal os min ha-malach. So in the case of Gidon, he asked this malach who appeared to him for a sign that he was really from Hashem, because the malach was asking Gidon to do some kind of dangerous stuff. So we'll see as we go on. Dichsiv asisi li os she'ata medaberi mi al nasamosh mizeh ad bo'i elecha. So Gidon, he wants a sign from the malach that this malach is really from Hashem and that he's real, and he's actually representing a real shlichus Hashem. Uchsiv v'gidon ba v'yaskedi izim. So the sign that Gidon used was that he brought these young calves, gedi izim, these young goats. Uchsiv v'yiga babasar uvamatos v'tala esh minatzur. So it says that he he approached, I think it's Vayiga, the Basar v'Matos. He approached with the Basar and the Matos, and the fire came out of nowhere. It came from a rock. So this is another example of a fire emerging, not from the heavens, but from something that you wouldn't think a fire would come from, just a random rock. So since Gideon was asked to do five things, so Gideon needed some encouragement in order to go ahead and do these things, and the os was a way for him to feel a certain, I guess, emotional strength or a certain courage to do these things. What were they? So Gideon was instructed to take his father's shor that was worshipped by his father. So his first mission was to destroy this animal that was being served by his father. And also there was another par that was taken that was used for worshiping. And then he was commanded to destroy the altar of the Baal. To the Baal was in the gods that his father worshipped, and the Asherah, which was the tree that was worshipped or near the Mizbeach, and destroy it. Uvanisa Mizbeach LaHashem Elokecha al Rosh HaMaos HaZeb Ma'aracha. And then finally, he had to take the wood from the destroyed Mizbeach and create a Mizbeach LaHashem. V'Lashon HaMaos Hu Hartzok V'Kasha M'Lashon Azazel. So it was on the top of a cliff, which is, it's harder than Azazel. So that's why Gideon needed a sign, but the sign was that his korbanos were eaten up by fire. They were consumed by fire. So this was a situation where the fire that came in Hashemayim functioned in order to teach Gideon that he should go along with his mission and take on his father and destroy his father's attachment to Avodah Zarah and instead build this Mizbeach LaHashem. So the first was Ar Esh, which was korbanos ritzoi kapara. The second one is by Gideon, that he needed some type of encouragement. Oh, this is weird. He needed some type of encouragement in order to go ahead and destroy his father's Avodah Zarah. The Ashlishis Aishi Yarda Bime Manoach Kesha Nigla Hamalach Leishta. So the third good fire was the times of Shimshon, Manoach, his father. The Chachmas Manoach, so he wasn't the brightest, but the Malach appeared to his wife, and Uchsiv im Tatsreini lo uchal b'lachmecha, Uchsiv vayikach Manoach es gedia izim es amincha vayal al atzur la, Uchsiv vayhi kalos ha'la av mehal mezbeach ha'shamayma. So he wanted some proof again that this Malach was real, and again, the Eish functions as proof for Manoach that he was really coming min ha'shamayim. Pirush Rabbeinu Sadia Zal, Kitzchila Kara Esahar Tzur. First he called it Tzur, Vayal Tzur, V'achar Sheniskabla Korban Kara Mizbeach. Okay, it's not really that important towards our goal, but it was changed to Mizbeach. Vaya Os Bazel, Manoch L'Ishto, Kadesh Yis Amsu Dever Amalach B'Libam Shebisaram Beven. So Shebisaram Beven, sorry. So the reason for this Os was that the Malach should show Manoach and his wife that they were going to have a son, and it's real, that they're really going to have this son, Shimshon. So they needed to believe, and the fire functioned for that purpose. So the fourth one was by David, that when he was Kona, this place in the Goren of Arona HaYavusi. So when he was Kone, he built a Mizbeach, and the Mizbeach that he built, it was, the Korbanos were accepted. So far we have five. There are six total, but six good and six bad. So the five good ones, we see two themes going on in the Rabbeinu Bachya. The first is Ritoy Korbanos, and the second one is using as an os to teach them, to teach either Manoach or again to teach Gideon, the concepts of them being instructed by Hashem to do these actions. So then he takes up the question that we asked before. He gives a little bit of a different answer. V'im yishal ha'shoa lama hutzracha esha zos uchvar ha'isa shama esha yarda b'mei Moshe. So why did you need a new fire in the time of Shlomo if you already had the fire of Moshe? So the question we were answering is, why did you need the fire of Moshe? And again, the answer was because the concept of the fire of Moshe wasn't the fire per se, but it really was reflective of Ritzoy Min Hashem and Kapara. But why did you need another fire come down? So what's the reason? Uchuvas advarim ki mizbeach hanechoshes loya machil al korbanos shebi yemei Shlomo l'rebuyan. So in the times of Shlomo, there were a lot more korbanos, and the nechoshes was too small. V'rubam hayu makrivim b'chatzer. Most of them, the korbanos, were given or were brought in the chatzer. Hushikasev bayomahu kidesh amelech estocha chatzer. So the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash was the makom in which the korbanos were brought, because they didn't fit on the mizbeach nechoshes. Ubir asiba lama ve'amar ki mizbeach nechoshes asher lifnei Hashem katan me'achil es ha'ola v'samincha. And it explains the pasuk where it says that the mizbeach nechoshes was too small to accept the amount of korbanos in the times of Shlomo. V'lo yurishan lahavi al tocha chatzar eish minachutz ki siya eish zara. They couldn't bring in a fire from outside, because then it would be an eish zara, an outside fire. Gam lo yurishan l'kachas mina eish al mizbeach nechoshes ushiotziu oso al tocha chatzar. They also couldn't take from the mizbeach nechoshes the fire and light it in the chatzar, ki chaluha, because it would be a chilol, it would desecrate it. Umalim bekodesh v'lo maridin. You're not allowed to go down in kedusha. V'akein hutzrach beis hamikdash leosda. That's why the beis hamikdash needed a new fire. Shetirin eish ben hashamayim al tocha chatzar. The reason is practical. So he gives us an answer. So why did they need a new fire? Because the fire in the time of Moshe was insufficient, due to the fact that Mizbeach Nechoshes was too small. So they needed a new fire, so the new fire came, Min Hashem. He's saying it's because they had no other choice, but again, it's to show Klal Yisrael the same concept, that the fire is meant to demonstrate Ritzoy and Kapara. And let's go on. And then there's one more case of good. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
What is Milan the Kedusha of Lomarim? What does that have to do with anything? I'm not following.
Oh, he's saying because the Mizbeach Nechoshes was closer to the... was in the Ulam, and the Mizbeach Nechoshes was Malin Bekodesh, was a higher level of Kedusha than the Chatzer, the Makom HaChatzer. So to take fire from inside, which is Kedusha, and take it outside, which is Morid in Kedusha, the Chatzer was the lesser place of Kedusha, that's the problem. Malin Bekodesh Lo Moridin.
Even though you're using it for Korbanos?
Yeah, even though you're using it for Korbanos. Good question. Not really what I want to take up, but great question. Great question. Why is it? Good question. I don't know. Well, think about it. I just want to... So let's move on. Vashishis b'me Eliyahu, shiksiv aneni Hashem aneni, harishon b'yiridus ha'esh, hasheni b'yiridus ha'matar, lefishu nishba imya ha'shanem ha'elay talu matar, o bal omar aneni harishon shiterit esh t'kabel korbanos, aneni hasheni b'tosvos v'riboy ha'esh k'dei shel yuchlo ha'mayim l'chabosa, aval hi tilcho chamayim. So Eliyahu, there's a famous miracle there where he asked for fire, and it should be fire that's not disturbed or disrupted or extinguished by any water. So this happened, and this was the sixth case of a positive expression of fire coming from Shamayim. So in Brachos it says, what is Aneni Hashem? It means answer me by bringing this fire down and eating them up and consuming them. And Aneni a second time so that they know that this fire that came down wasn't a Maisek Shafim. It wasn't magic, but it was really Min Hashemayim, Min Hashem. So it's the same concepts. It's really tied to the two ideas we said before, which are Ritzoy, and the second idea is proving to whoever is being told to do something for Hashem to go forward. So they needed some type of, not just proof, but encouragement to continue. So therefore, the fire functions as a positive in those two elements. Rachmanios v'ritzoy, like the Rabbeinu Bachya says. And then there's six on the opposite. V'ashishi shiyardu derach kas nekama. One is in our parsha. Ha'echad hi ha'esh hazos b'nadav aviyu, hu shekasa v'teche esh melefnei Hashem. So we see that by Nadav and Avihu, you have a negative of Esh, that an Esh came from the Shemayim, consumed them, destroyed them. Hasheni kishin nisar mo'am al Moshe. The second one is when the Jews complained, v'hiya am kimis onanim ra, uchsev v'tivar bam Esh Hashem, and they were consumed, the people, for complaining. Hashlishi b'machlukoso shel Korach desiv v'esh yaltzim Esh Hashem atochol, Esh ha'chamishim asayim Esh. So Korach, you have this fire come down to destroy them. Harvi binyan Iov, Shinamar Esha Lukim, Nofl Min Hashemayim, Hachamishi vashishi shnei mali de'eliyahu shiyar de'ish min ha-shamayim v'sarfa l'sar chamishim v'chamushav. So it destroyed the star 50 and the star 50 and all of those who had weapons. Uvapam shnia yar de'ish v'sarfa l'sar chamishim ha-sheni v'chamushav. So it's a separate case. Hu shekasev atir de'ish min ha-shamayim v'tolcha osov v'chamushav. So the other cases of Eish, which are negative, are situations where the Eish comes down and kills people. The reason why these people were punished was because they spoke to Eliyahu inappropriately. So in both those cases, these officers told Eliyahu that the king's telling you to go down, and they were speaking to him disrespectfully, and as a result, Hashem destroyed them with the same type of fire, this fire that came from Shemayim, as the fire of Rachmanios and Ritzoi. So Rabbeinu Bachya, again, he just quotes the six and the six, but the question that I have on Rabbeinu Bachya is, what's the significance of the fact that there's 12 cases and six are good and six are bad? You know, who cares? Is he just kind of showing us the reality, or is he trying to teach us an idea? So that's the question. I don't know why, but for some reason, it looks like this is going to turn off in 1 minute. And I thought I had the pro and the upgrade, but apparently not. I have no idea why. So why don't we just stop for a second and everybody will just call back in. I know it's really annoying and I apologize. And then we'll just pick it up and I'll try to answer that last question. Okay, 1 second. Yeah, the question that we asked was, the last question we asked was, why does Rabbeinu Bachya teach us this? Is there any idea to the fact that there's a parallel of six and six? So that's a question. So I think that the answer lies in an idea in Parshas Korach that I remembered from the past, and I think there's other examples in the Torah, but I think it's a deep idea philosophically, and it's very insightful. So if you look over there in Korach, in source number 12, it says, "Vayomer Moshe al Aaron, kach esamachta v'sen aleh eish ma'al mizbeach v'sim ketores v'holech me'ra l'ha'idah v'chaper aleihem v'chiper aleihem v'chaper aleihem, sorry, ki yatzah ketzef m'lifnei Hashem echel nagef." So when there was a magefa for the Jewish people in the times of Korach, the solution that Moshe was telling Aaron was to take a pan and to put fire on it and put ketores on it, and in that way he would calm down the anger of Hashem. Vayikach Aaron kasher diber Moshe vayar tzotocha kahal v'ine echel negef ba'am vayitenes ketores vayichaper lo'am. And it worked. The ketores worked. So Rashi famously says, what's the reason why ketores was used in this situation? So he says over there in source number 13, Davar Acher Lama B'Ketores. Why was Ketores used? Lefisha Yisrael Milizin Umarananim Achar Ketores Lomar Sam Hamavesu. Because the Jewish people were saying that Ketores itself is deadly, because you see that all of Korach's followers were killed when they had Ketores in their pans. Al Yado Meso Nadav Avio, Yado Nisrafu Chamisha Masayim Ish. So through the Ketores, Nadav and Avio were killed. And through the Ketores, the 250 people were killed. Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, Tiru She'otzer Magefahu, V'achet Hu Amemis. So Hashem was trying to demonstrate and make it clear to the Jewish people that it's not the Ketores. There's nothing about the Ketores per se that is good or bad. It could function to cause Onesh, and it could also function in the capacity of Schar and saving people. It's the Chet. The actual Chet itself, is Memis, and it's not the entity of the Ketores that's essential. So that idea, I think, I believe, is expressed in Vishalach as well. I can't remember the exact Rishon who talks about it. I think it's Ramban in Vishalach. It's a similar type of idea. I think it's by Mara, by the story of Mara. The point is that Rashi is saying is that in this world, when you have a physical entity, to judge a physical entity and to give it a good or bad status intrinsically, inherently, is really the wrong approach. What makes something good or bad is when it's used for good or bad, and as a result of Schar V'Onesh, or it's used in the framework of Schar V'Onesh as a result of Chet or Schar for mitzvos. So I think that's what Rabbeinu Bachya is showing you. The reason why there's an exact parallel in the Torah and in Tanakh between the Eish stories and the positive and the negative is to teach you the same concept, which is that there's no intrinsic positive or negative to fire and to the use of fire as a method of Ashgacha, vis-a-vis HaKadosh Baruch Hu expressing himself in this world. There's no objective good or bad. It's dependent on the person and whether the person is doing something good, whether they're deserving of Rachmanos and deserving of the idea of Ritzoi versus being deserving of destruction. But the point is that Klal Yisrael, again, it's the same concept, I believe, Rabbeinu Bachya is showing you Because I think that explains why there's an exact parallel, to show you that it's not really about the fire. The fire is accidental. It's about the cause of the fire. If the cause of the fire is tshuva and the desire for ritzo and kapara, then the fire functions for good. If the cause of the fire is chet, and the chet is memes, then the fire comes for bad. But the point is, the key is that Klal Yisrael, they need to focus not on the onesh or the schar per se, and you see that expressed in Vayaronu, that they weren't so impressed by the miraculousness of what occurred. They were impressed by the ritzoy and the idea that they were deserving of this from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So same thing with us. When you see a miracle, or if a miracle occurs, are you impressed by the miracle per se? Or do you recognize that the miracle is merely an expression of hashgacha as a result of either rewarding somebody or punishing somebody? But the actual miracle itself has no intrinsic positive or negative attached to it. And that's why it's expressed in this completely balanced manner throughout Tanakh. So I think that's the last point that I wanted to share in the shir. So let me just summarize everything, and then we'll call it a night. If you have questions, please feel free to ask. But I just wanted to finish it off with three points. We really made just 3 points in the shir. We did it in about 40 minutes, 3 points. So the first point that I wanted to make was about the idea of Atete Esh. The Medrash says that the Jewish people give shira. And it's also consistent with the Targum Onkelos. But in the Medrash, it says that it was said about the Jewish people, Ranenu Tzadikim Bashem La'isharim Navasi Hila, which is teaching us the idea from the Radak that Tzadikim Shevach is greater than the average person, because their Shevach is tied to a recognition of the greatness of God's acts in this world and his Chesed. And the Chesed that the Jewish people recognized and appreciated fully was Ritzo and Kapara for the Egal Zahav. And that's really why they gave Shira. They gave Shira for that purpose, to recognize, because it showed that they recognized the chesed that Hashem was doing by being mechaper on the egel, and the fire was doing that. The second point in the Medrash was that the fire of Moshe existed lasted till the time of Shlomo, to the point where you're not allowed to put it out. So why not? So it's the same concept, that fire by the Mizbech is Ritzu and Kapara. It's not just consumption for the sake of burning food up, like in an oven, but it's really the idea of Ritzu and Kapara, and that was expressed through the Esh Ben HaShamayim, and that idea had to be treasured. It could not be extinguished. It was so essential for Klal Yisrael's existence. Something that's essential for your existence, you're not going to put out, you're not going to extinguish, you're going to recognize its importance. And that's why the Esh of Moshe lasted till the time of Shlomo, and the Rabbeinu Bakhi says that, you know, Shlomo, the reason why they need a new one is practical, because they didn't have room for the Esh of from the Mizbeach HaNechushas, but really it would have lasted and gone beyond Shlomo's time. And then there's also the point that Rabbi Unger made, which was that why does the Medrash say that the fire was like a lion lying in wait, to teach us that Ritzoi and Kapara are available to us when we want it, and it's almost ready to be done. It's ready to pounce like the animal. The third idea, the last idea, was Rabbeinu Bachya. He shows us different cases in Tanakh where fire coming from Shemayim is used positively, and other cases it's used negatively, but what he points out is that it's 6 and 6. And the question is, why is it 6 and 6 specifically? Why couldn't it be 7 or 5? And I think that it's trying to teach us, similar to the Ketores by Korach, that there's a balance. And the balance is to show us that it's not the entity itself that has good or bad associated with it. It's not fire per se that's good or bad as and when used with Hashkacha or through Hashkacha. It's dependent on what's deserving of the fire. If it's Tshuva and Korbanos, then fire functions as a good. And if it's a rishus and chet, then fire functions as a bad. But again, the Klal Yisrael need to focus on the real cause of the fire, not the fire itself. Same thing as a ketores. Focus on the cause of the ketores and not the ketores per se. And I think that's the idea. All right, so that is the end of the shir. Any questions?